Acts chapter 16, and I want to read from verse 6. We're speaking about Paul and Silas. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavoured to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. Paul and Silas had collected Timothy. He was there too. As they moved up through the what we now call Turkey, but the areas where the apostles had gone on their first missionary journey. And this is what we call their second missionary journey. And it appears as if Paul and Silas and Timothy intended to visit a number of places where they knew that there were churches, or that they felt there was opportunity to preach the gospel. They were making their way along that route that they had previously visited, with the intention of visiting some new places also in Asia and Mysia and Bithynia. But it's very interesting to note that the Holy Spirit prevented them from going to these places. He forbade them preaching in certain towns and in certain regions. And I think that that's a very interesting fact. And it is something which I think we all ought to be aware of in Scripture, because it is noticeable that the Holy Spirit clearly directs where preaching is to be done and where preaching is not to be done. There were sinners in these towns, just as there were in any other town and village. But there were no elect sheep of God, at least not at this time. And so there was no need for the gospel to be preached there. There was no call for the apostles to take their ministry to those places, because God did not have anyone whom he was going to save in those places. And for that reason, and for the reason that there were other places to which the Lord would send his preachers, they were constrained and prevented from going where their own will and desire would ordinarily have led them. Now, that's not to say that there were never believers in these places. And we discover when Peter writes his epistle that he writes to the saints that are in Bithynia. So there were believers in Bithynia at a later stage. There just wasn't a need for the preaching of the gospel in that town at this moment. Paul had other work in other places that he would be called to do. Places where the gospel was needed and the time scale had an imperative. And therefore, he was directed to go beyond, to go further. And as we read, we see that they come, the little party come to Troas. And there they are at Troas. And Troas is on the coast. And it seems to be connected with the city of Troy. I guess some of us from our history will have heard of the city of Troy. And those of us who don't know about Troy from history should certainly know about it from Hollywood. And that, of course, was many, many years before, probably over 1,000 years, maybe 1,300 years before, that the whole horse of Troy and city of Troy and Achilles and Hector and all of that story about Troy took place. But here we are in the same region, in the same place. So it's lovely to see how these connections can be made. And I'm just sorry that I don't have the ability right now to show you one of those little maps that I was showing on another occasion, because it is a fantastic little map to show you where all these places are, with some super lines and brilliant arrows. But you can't see it today, I'm afraid. So in the absence of those maps, I'll just tell you that these little towns took them up to the northern part of Turkey and right across from the southern tip of Europe and Greece and Macedonia and into that part, Albania as it is now, into that part of Europe with the Black Sea up along the top. And that was where now Paul and Silas and Timothy were. And in that place, the Apostle Paul received a vision. He received a vision, and it may have been while he was asleep, it may have been while he was awake, but he was conscious of the fact that he heard a voice. And here we find a call is given, and this is sometimes called the Macedonian call, because it seems to have been a man from Macedonia calling the apostle to come across and help us. Come and help us, Paul. We need to hear about Christ. We need to hear the gospel. And I think that's lovely. Isn't it? You know what we sometimes say? We need a job. We need good health care. We need good education. We need something for here and something for there. How often do we hear people saying, we need to hear Christ? Well, the apostle was called and they determined that they would go into Europe with the gospel. They would go across to Macedonia, into Greece, which is in modern day Europe. And I wonder if any of you noticed something interesting in verse 16 as we were reading it. Not 16, I'm sorry. I've lost it. Verse 10. Should have marked down. Verse 10. Something interesting happened in verse 10. I wonder if anybody noticed it when we were reading it. There's a little change of pronouns. Did anybody notice that? A little change of pronouns happened in there. Suddenly it became we and us. See, this is a lovely thing that Scripture tells us, almost accidentally sometimes. Do you know what that means? Anyone? What does that mean there when it says we and us? Luke joined them. Luke joined them at Troas. Now, it's possible that he had been there from before, right? I'm not going to be absolutely adamant, but it's likely that what had happened here is that he had come from Antioch and come by ship and perhaps come all the way around and met them at Troas. For whatever reason, here we have a change. And now in the chapters that follow, we discover that Luke, the writer of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, is speaking in the first person. He's actually there. And he goes with Paul, and he goes with Silas, and with Timothy. So here's this little group. Can you imagine what a powerful little group of preachers that was? Luke, the writer of the gospel and the writer of the book of Acts. Timothy, that young pastor who Paul had taken and tutored and nurtured in the faith and to whom several letters were written. Silas, who was a stalwart and a helper to the apostle and the great apostle himself. There they were. And what did they do? The first thing they did was they headed into Europe. They went to Philippi, and here's the gospel being spread out, this little party taking the message. They go to a place called Samothracia, which is an island, which is pretty much likely just to have been an overnight stop as they crossed this channel from Turkey or Asia, as it was then, into Macedonia and Europe. They had an overnight stay, and then the next day they sailed to a place called Neapolis, and the next day they went on to Philippi. And there seems to have been a little bit of a delay when they arrived at Philippi, as if they weren't sure quite what to do. Maybe there wasn't any immediate opportunity to say, for example, go to a synagogue. It doesn't appear that there was a synagogue in this town. It may be that in the reading of the phrases there was a little bit of a delay. So what the apostles did was they went out for a walk, maybe to talk about what their plans were, what they were going to do, where they would go. And as they were walking, they went down to the side of a river, and they discovered there a group of women praying, and they decided to sit down with them and amongst them and engage them in conversation and to take the opportunity to preach the gospel. You know, it doesn't have to be a big formal event like coming to church or standing behind a pulpit or going into a synagogue and being invited to read the passage of the day. We can talk about the Lord Jesus Christ in a very casual way, where we sit down looking for an opportunity, perhaps not always pressing it like some misplaced enthusiast, but looking for an opportunity, taking an opportunity to speak about the Lord and the things that the Lord has done as the Holy Spirit gives occasion and opens doors. And that's exactly what the apostle did here. And amongst the ladies, we discover that there is one called Lydia. And Lydia is a long, long way from home. See, that's why the apostles had been prevented from going to these other places. Because Lydia was on business. And she was in business from Thyatira, which was way over there in the east, at Philippi, right at that time. And so Paul was sent from Antioch to Philippi to meet Lydia from Thyatira, because she had to hear the gospel that day at the riverside. And see the way the Lord brings his providences to bear upon the gathering in of his church and people. She may have been a Jewish lady, and she hears the apostle preach the Lord Jesus Christ. And we get a lovely little phrase here, that the Lord opened her heart. And that teaches us one thing, if nothing else, that until the Lord opens the heart is closed and bound and locked up against the gospel. But here, the Lord opened her heart, and the Holy Spirit entered into her soul with the gospel and with grace. It shows us that the gospel and grace is God's work. It shows us that it was God who ordained the circumstances, the occasion, the opportunity, the message, and the reception of the gospel. She attended, she listened, she received, and she believed the message as the Holy Spirit gave her faith to do so. She believed the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. She believed the message of his death and his resurrection, his ascension into glory, forgiveness of sins by his shed blood, and peace that was available from God through that reconciliation which takes place on the ground of the Saviour's sacrifice. She believed it. And having trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as her Saviour, she at once desired to be baptized. Baptism, no doubt, was explained to her and her household. We discover here are baptized with her. That is simply recognizing that those who were with her that day also trusted the Lord as their Saviour. It wasn't that she, as the mistress of the house, simply said, "Right, you lot, we'll all get baptized." That's nonsense. But they had believed with her, and therefore they were baptized. And it's likely that they were baptized there and then in the river that they were praying beside. And it's lovely to see the reaction of this lady. She invites the apostles into her house to dwell with her. And it shows that she had an immediate desire to assist the gospel and the preachers of the gospel. She had an immediate desire, recognizing the good that the Lord had done to her soul, to give something back in return to the Lord. And the way in which she did that was to help and to support and to encourage and to accommodate those that had led her to a knowledge of the Saviour. This is a good picture of the transforming work of the gospel in an individual's life. And it shows us that grace and faith and labour go together in the experience of a believer as we are converted to the Lord and we seek to serve him and honour him and encourage his people, share in fellowship with them and bring what good we can to them. So that's the story of the Macedonian call of Paul and Silas heading into Europe with the gospel, and the beautiful account of the conversion of Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. Thank you for your attention.